Hello. I got a young man that just said, Mommy, I'm going to be helping him. So I want you to say, hello.
Hello.
Say, welcome.
Welcome.
To Only Believe Ministries.
Bye-bye.
I want to welcome you to Only Believe. We want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Whoa, praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that this is truly the city of God. This is the place for the outpouring of the King. And I want you to know, I want you to remember that we were in Hawaii. And I had to tell them that we love Hawaii, don't we, Miss Rita? But when God calls us to a city here in Ohio, we love it also. Amen? And I love it. Do you want to go back by Mama now? You want to stay with me? Okay. I want you to know something, that I loved it so much that I had to tell them when they were saying, hey, you should come to Hawaii. You should. It's great to live here. I said, it's great. I said, oh, you are? He was starting to fall. But anyhow, yeah, I better not drop you. But anyhow, I was in Hawaii, and they were saying, you should come here. And I said, oh, I can only vacation here. I said, because I'm part of the biggest mega city in Ohio. They said, you are? They said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's a city where the outpouring of God's coming. And I tell you what, I would never move from there, because it's an epicenter. I mean, it's like, it's really happening. They said, really? They said, are you up by Cleveland? I said, no, that's old news. I said, that city used to be a bigger city, but this city I'm in is even greater now. And they said, oh, are you over by Columbus? It's growing a lot. I said, nope. I said, I'm in Kenton, Ohio. And they went, Canton, Ohio, where the Football Hall of Fame is? I said, no, it's bigger than that. I said, Kenton, Ohio. Whoa! Please stay up here down. With me. You can hold my hand. And I said, hey, I said, no, Kenton, Ohio. I said, it's by the other metropolitan mega city. They said, it is. I said, what's that? I said, Botkins, Ohio. And they said, Kenton, Ohio and Botkins, Ohio. Okay, never heard of that. I said, oh, you will, praise God. Listen, I believe that we're going to be known for who we are. Forget little Chicago. Forget alcohol, forget drugs, forget abused families and separation and divorce, forget sickness and depression and just all of that. And it is time for us to remember the abundance of the love and the life that God has given us. Amen? And I want you to know that our focus tonight is that you are enough. Listen, I was with a man today, and he thought we were going to go do evangelism, but really, all I did was take him to his doctor's appointment. And I just had to let him know, listen, we don't have to, you need to get healed up, man. I said, then we don't have to go evangelize, and we don't have to, you don't have to do anything to impress me to want to be in your presence. You're enough just who you are. I thank God you're part of the church. I thank God that God is trusting Regina and I and each of you together to live for people. Amen? And I want each and every one of you to know, even this little man right here, he needs to know he's enough. God has created each and every one of you. And you can do it. And you will win. And you are his. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.
Amen. Stand to your feet with us tonight.
Across Take
deep your love runs.
Right now in the name of Jesus, it cannot stay on not one body in here in the name of Jesus. Father God, we release them from shame. We release them from the pain. We release them from feeling condemnation. Lord God, there's been repentance and the devil cannot hold us not one more day, but one more day of bondage. We are free. Oh, the Son sets free. It's free indeed.
Over.
don't climb up, coming after you. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Come on, church, let's sing that. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. He's coming after you tonight. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Good.
won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down.
Give that to you. So I encourage you tonight, if there's something that you feel that you need to give to God, or you just want to get closer to God, run to the altar. Don't let anything stand in your way tonight. Your neighbors aren't looking at you. They're pressing in with you. So if nothing can stand in His way, let's not let ourselves stand in the way of freedom tonight.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you.
Today, I said, if we're going to win our battles as a Christian, we can't win them when everything's blessed. We can't win them when everything looks good, smells good, feels good. That's not when we define ourselves. When we define ourselves is that when the gates of hell are coming our way, we stand in the middle of fire and lift up a hand and fight our battle in the realm of praise to our God.
This is how I fight my battles.
But he says, get calm in the presence of God, because around your enemies, he will make you a table. Listen, that your enemies might think they got you surrounded. Listen, God will prove to you that if you would just sit down and relax in the middle of the battle, he would cause you to eat a big dinner right in the midst of your enemies and let you know that you cannot be touched. You cannot be touched when you belong to God. I want you to know that all the devils of hell, Satan himself knew when Jesus was born, and God didn't hide him anywhere, did he? Even when Jesus was yet a baby in the manger, he put a light so bright up above him, and he challenged the devil to come from anywhere he wanted to, because even when Jesus was a baby in the manger, he could not be touched because he belonged to God. And I'm telling you, you cannot be touched by the battles of this life. You cannot be destroyed by the work of darkness. I'm telling you right now, you better get your best battle gear on. You better get yourself prepared. You better get your best food table plate suit on. And you better put your napkin. You better put your napkin and tuck it in deep, because you're about to eat better in the presence of the King than you've ever ate. Amen.
How many of you is ready to raise a hallelujah before the Lord?
Come on, come on.
In the midst of everything, Lord God, we give you a hallelujah.
Come on, come on. Woo! Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Come on.
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on.
In the presence of my enemy.
Ooh.
I raise a hallelujah.
Raise it up.
Louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah.
Come on.
My weapon is a melody.
Come on now.
I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Whoa. way. You got to give him everything. Give the Lord everything.
Praise a hallelujah.
Come on, let's do it.
I will watch the darkness flee.
But I think I'm going to excommunicate Logan and make him go home because he really probably needs to get home and get some rest because at his job he was called in the middle of the night. He's been going all day long. So the rest of you, you're going to get to take a break just for about 5 or 10 minutes and We're going to do announcements, and I'm going to just take up the offering. I ain't even going to preach over it because I believe God just wants you to sow that out of your heart. We're going to go ahead and let the children go because I got about a 5 or 10 minute word. Look at all you looking like I'm lying. I feel that. Yeah, 5 or 10 minutes word with him is an hour and a half. Jeannie, I felt you. Okay, you didn't say nothing. Hallelujah. Well, I plan on it being a short word. And then we're going to go back in and end worship. And I tell you what, we got some more people to pray for.
Hallelujah.
Say this with me. Hallelujah. I'm enough.
I'm enough. Come on.
Say, I'm enough.
I'm enough.
God loves me.
God loves me.
Condemnation is not where I live.
Condemnation is not where I live.
I live in His hope.
I live in His hope.
His identity for me.
His identity for my life.
His thoughts towards me.
His thoughts.
Not my own.
Not my own.
Not my enemies.
Not my enemies.
And not the devil's.
Because
His thoughts for me are only good. You know, the thoughts of God will never fail your life. The Lord says, you know, I had to repent one day. Because I was reading the Bible and I thought the Bible always said, oh, He's spoken more words over me than the sands on the sea. Hallelujah. And one day I read that scripture and He said, no. I spoke more words over you than the sand. And I started considering the deserts. I started considering not just the shores, but I started considering the sand that's 175 miles deep in the ocean that you can't even see.
Woo!
I started considering the natural sand, but then I started considering the sand that man makes. And I'm telling you that the Lord was just showing me and speaking to me, Philip, I have said, I have more thoughts over you than the millisecond of time. He said, I have enough thoughts over you not to just carry you in this life. I said, God, show me scripture. He said, okay, just go to Mark chapter 10. I'll give you 100-fold in this life. Oh, yeah, and the life to come, eternal life. He said, and if you think I'm waiting for you to come to heaven to speak about your eternity, you got another thing coming. If we would just live in what God has given us, our life is going to be so extraordinary before we leave that we should be aware of His time, we should be aware of His coming, and we could actually be rejoicing on the day that the Lord has come. Ma'am, have you ever been here before? No, it's your first time. What are these wild people about? Amen. Listen, I want you to know, you might have to overlook me because I'm a little loud and all that kind of stuff, but I got to tell you something. The minute I looked towards you, it confirmed the service subject tonight because I told my wife earlier, I said, honey, I think we're just going to do a lot of worship because tonight the only good thing God keeps telling me is to tell people, you're enough. You're actually not just enough. You're more than enough. See, the Lord didn't say that I come to just give you a little bit of life. No, no, no. He said, I come to give you life more abundantly. He also come to say, I don't want to just touch you in a little way, Chad. He said, no, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. One day the Lord said, Philip, would you just think something wild and crazy? Would you think something impossible? Would you just start believing me for something that would be extraordinary? And I gave God something that I thought was extraordinary. And He said, I guess for your 30, 60-fold season of life, that ain't a bad thought. He said, you're doing okay. He said, but I tell you what you gave me, Philip, I can meet without even another blink of the eye. Get your dreams up.
Amen.
See, because it's not just about you. You're going to find out that every time we read a story, when someone stands up and asks God for anything, we never just touch our own life. We'll touch everybody else's life. See, the disciples didn't even hear the whole word of God. He said, let your nets out. They let one net out, and thank God they did. Lord, we're tired. We've been toiling all day. Sounds like us easy running Christian. We've been working all day, God, and we fished all day and didn't catch a thing. But at your word, we'll go ahead and do what you said. No, you didn't do the fullness of what He said. He said, let your nets out. You let one net out, but I thank God they did because that one net went beyond them and touched so many other people that they had to bring extra boats in. What would have happened if they had to throw nets out? I guarantee you the whole region, the whole city, every boat in that harbor would have had to come over, and it wouldn't have been enough. Shakatakaru. If we would just grab a hold of who we are. Come on up here.
Listen, they didn't look at their even 5 minutes ago. So they didn't look at their yesterday.
No.
To listen to the voice of the Lord and walk back on that boat and put those nets down. And they looked at just 5 minutes ago. They would have lost the harvest that God had for them and the miracle that he had for their life. Quit looking back. Quit thinking that you're who you used to be. Quit thinking that one mistake can ruin the rest of your life and can hold you in a place that the Lord can't reach you and that you can't be you. Stop it. The devil is lying to you. He don't want just you. He wants your family. He wants everybody around you. You's not good enough, but he wants you. He wants everybody around you. But the Bible says that if we could look and see, one day we will. And we'll say, that is what we allowed to keep us down? Mm-mm. That is what we allowed to remind us of who we used to be? Are you serious? Are you serious? Listen, you are more than the enemy can handle, which is why he's come after you. He said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But that's not God's plan. God says that I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Listen, if we're going to choose to believe anybody, I'm going to quit, turn an ear to the enemy, and I'm going to keep my ear pressed to the Lord.
Come on.
And I'm going to quit letting him speak into my life.
Amen.
And every time I see you down, I'm going to curse that thing in you. And I'm not going to let him speak in your life that way either.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Come on. You know who you are. You know who you are. You're a child of the Most High God.
Come on now.
You are the one he sent his son for.
Come on.
You were the one that he would do it again for if it was necessary. But listen, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. We need to pick ourselves up. And even when it doesn't feel like it, we're going to stand up and we're going to believe him. We're going to believe who he says we are. But I don't feel like it today. Okay? You get out of bed and you say, Lord, I thank you that I got out of bed today.
Amen.
Yesterday I stayed in bed, but today I got out of bed today, and I thank you that you've given me the strength to get up. Lord God, that I'm not who I was, but I am who you say I am. And you start getting scripture of who God says you are that speaks to your heart bigger than anything. And you quit allowing that voice to stay. The Bible tells us what to think on. Think on things that are good, pure, honest, worthy. Think on those things. Listen, this battle has got to be over in us. Amen. That we keep holding on to what yesterday was, even if it was 5 minutes ago. Battle's got to be over in us.
Hallelujah.
Because we all see where God's taking us. We all see where we're going. And remember Lot's wife who looked back. We're not Lot's wife. Our eyes are going to stay focused on forward and him. Amen? Amen, amen, amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I guess me and her are just going to tag team tonight. Amen. At this time, I'm going to let the children go to Children's Church.
I think they already have.
Oh, they already did. Amen, amen, amen.
Gone.
I just seen Pastor Jared back there, and I thought, hallelujah. You know, I want you to know that I know people who had nose procedures this week, wisdom teeth pulled, and you wouldn't even know it.
Amen. You
wouldn't even know it. Both of them are on our worship team, and you don't even know that they had some surgical procedures this week. Because I tell you what, if you could really use your faith to believe God that you're not just a natural person, but that you can overcome the destinies and the difficulties of this life, because I want you to know, you have an unfair advantage. You're not just a mere person. You have an unfair advantage. You are a supernatural person. See, you want to put it all on God. I've been dealing with people this week, and they said, well, no, it's all God, brother. It's all God, brother. Really? Do you want me to rip scriptures out of the Bible? Because the Bible says that a man must know who he is and believe who he is, but also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you diligently seek God with a pure heart, you don't got to be perfect, but you are more than enough. You are powerful. You're supernatural. And you better quit stealing your identity. You quit stealing the identity of Christ. And you better put it on yourself instead of taking it off of yourself. Well, you don't know what I did. Well, it's me. I'm just this. I'm this. I'm sick. I have all these battles. I love your battles. But in your identity, there's healing, health, and there's a possession of God that you better take. I'm telling you, blind Bartimaeus ignored his blindness, threw his begging coat off. See, you might not even know it, but in the Jewish culture, in order for a person to beg, they had to have approval that they were a legitimate person in need. And they actually had garments that mocked them, that marked them for blindness, deafness. There were certain garments that mocked you if you had leprosy and things like that. And if you had that garment, you could legally beg.
Yep.
And blind Bartimaeus, when he says he threw his clothes off, listen, that wasn't something you're supposed to ignore. You're supposed to understand that blind Bartimaeus, in the presence of the Lord, threw off his old identity and grabbed his new identity before it was upon him.
Amen.
He didn't wait till he could see. He was still blind, and he said, no, 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 Lord, that I might see. And he threw that coat off, stumbled towards the Lord, and once he got a little closer, your problem is you just need to get a little closer, because once he got a little closer to the presence of the Lord, bam, life came to him.
Amen.
I tell you what, if he'd ever eaten a hamburger, he now got to see how good they look before you eat them. Amen. I guarantee you, he was probably mad saying, I went all this time and my mouth never watered because all I could do is smell it. But now I can see it before I smell it and my mouth gets to water twice. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Go ahead, believes that the Jesus who did that you get to do greater works than that because he sits at the right hand of the Father?
Amen.
Who believes that?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now remember when they came to get Jesus to take him to the cross. Do you know what happened when the soldiers came in the first time? When the very first time they came in, they fell as if dead because they couldn't take a hold of Jesus unless he let them. Unless he laid down his Godship, they could not touch him. Unless you lay down who you are in Christ, he can't touch you. The enemy can't touch you.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Do you understand that? He can try. He can throw things at you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what? The Lord delivers us out of all of them.
Hallelujah.
You are more than a conqueror. Because he that lives in me is greater than he that lives in the world, and he that sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Has gone there for me.
Amen.
He makes intercession for me.
Hallelujah.
And therefore, greater works that my Savior did.
Come on.
Do we get to do?
Amen.
Nothing touches this.
Amen. Come on.
Unless I lay down and let it touch me.
Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Have I laid down and let it touch me? Yes, I have. I've been guilty. I've been guilty. I won't ask for a show of hands in here. But I promise you that if we took a show of hands in here, there's going to be about every single person raise their hand and say, yes, I've laid it down. And
Amen.
I've allowed the enemy and I've given him place to come in and attack.
Hmm.
But you know what? That doesn't mean we have to stay there.
Come on now.
That means we're like David at Ziklag.
Amen. Come on.
Everything's taken. Everything gone. It looks hopeless. They're trying to kill me. My own men are trying to kill me.
Amen.
Nope. I'm not going to come back at them. I'm not going to fight them. I'm going to go get the ephod and I'm going to get before my God.
Hallelujah.
Because if I can get before my God, victory will be mine.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's what we do.
Amen. That's what we
do. That's how we fight our battles.
That's how we fight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what. I don't think we need much more than that. I'm just going to tell you one thing. And we're going to be studying on this. The Bible says that unless a man would love himself, he can't love his wife. And I want you to know something. That every one of you are wondering, what's it going to take to put my life back together? You got to forgive yourself. You got to grab a hold of your God identity. Listen, I tell you what, my wife will tell you that I say I'm sorry for about 2 seconds, and I mean it. But then I'm done. If you want me to bellyache and sorry cake along because I made a mistake, you better look for someone else. You're not going to hold me under condemnation and make me feel bad over something that's already done, because the only thing I can do is get about the Father's business. Listen, I ain't thinking about my yesterday. I ain't stuck in my yesterday whining about it and thinking I'm ever going to carry the identity of my past, because I'm not. And I would challenge you tonight to understand this. Most Christians hurt themselves more than the devil because they speak against themselves and they empower their mistakes, their past, and their lack of acceptance of God's identity more than they do the blood of Jesus. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Don't come up to me and say, "Oh, brother, it's nothing in me. It's all God." Doesn't Christ reside in you? Are you telling me that the Lord is going to reside in you and you think that he's not going to bring you more alive, and you don't think he's going to make you a new creature, and you don't think he's going to put his supernatural identity? How could God be in you and you not be supernatural? Are you going to dare belittle the blood like that? Are you going to raise a hallelujah for the kingdom of darkness more than you are for Jesus? Well, you don't know. I just got my sickness. That's your problem. You keep calling it your sickness instead of saying this trash belongs in the devil's kingdom. God, take it from me. Blind Bartimaeus said, whoa. Thank you, government. Thank you, national rules of Judaism. Thank you for all the begging that's been in my stinking cup. But it's time for me to see and make my own living. I tell you what, I pray that your biggest thing tonight is that you don't want to live out of a blind man's cup. I want to see where I'm going. I want to make my own money and make sure that I'm not just getting a handout. Don't get me wrong. When you need help, we're going to help. But I tell you what, I want to know that God can trust me what's in this hand to be doing something good with it. And I got to tell you something. Everybody ain't always going to agree with your decisions, but you better make sure that God agrees with you. Because I tell you what, whether you like it or not, I'm going to walk in a stronger anointing. Miss Regina's going to walk in a stronger anointing. And I believe that you guys are going to walk in a stronger anointing. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been broke. We have been so poor that the people in the poor neighborhood would only tell us we was poor. They said, "You so poor, you can't even own all four words, brother. I'll give you two, poor. If you get another dime in a week, then I'll call you poor. And hopefully you'll grow from there, amen?" But listen to me, I'm telling you. Tonight, you need to know you're not that identity that keeps you bent, keeps you worried. You're not that identity that keeps you wondering if tomorrow my whole world's going to fall apart. You're not that identity that if you're sick today, I have honor on your sickness, but I want you to know that you should have a mindset that tomorrow I'm going to break the back of sickness, and I don't care if I've been sick for 30 years. I tell you, the Lord went up to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and he didn't say, "I understand. You can't get to the water when the angel comes. I understand that men run in front of you. Oh, I understand." That's not what he said. He went to the man at the pool of Bethesda and said, "Hey, I'm here." Now, my question is, you going to lay here on this bed your whole life? And I got to tell you something. I'm not being incompassionate when I ask you that. I love your story, but I got to tell you something. At some point, your woe has to come to know I'm not that identity anymore, and I will tell you who I am. I'm the blessed of the Lord, and as the redeemed of the Lord, I'm going to say so. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to say so. Yes. I have been forgiven of my past, and I don't even have that own identity. I'm a new creature, and I don't care whose DNA was in that body. This DNA in this body has been changed. Amen?
Yes.
I tell you, there's been times where my wife has changed so much that I said, "Look, girl, you're scaring me right now. I will have the FBI here. I will have the CIA and what's the guys from TV? I don't even know if they're real, but NCIS. I told her before, I said, "I'm going to have them all lined up here." I said, "Because I got an alien calling me. And I need to make sure that you at least got the same DNA that you were before, because you ain't talking like the woman I knew. You ain't, but you're still looking as good as the woman I knew." But I couldn't tell because her heart had so changed that the way she was eating changed. The way she was working changed. The way she was talking has changed so much that I've had to actually call in and say, I need some FBI help here. I need some DNA testing. And I tell you what, I have found that my wife's DNA has been changed into more like Jesus than ever before. And I'm telling you, each one of you, if you don't understand what you saw tonight, I'm telling you, this is a girl that when we first met, she would stand behind me. Even in church, she'd say, Philip, there's too many people here. I want to go. Honey, we're about to eat. I don't care about eating. I want to go. That's your pastor. And I'm telling you, if she can beat abuse, if she can beat molestation, if she can beat suicide, she has no idea, but she's the hero that keeps me going. Because when I look at someone who's overcome failure, all I got to do is look across from me and see who she is to say. See what she demands today. See what she expects today. And it lights my fire because she's alive in the Lord. Amen.
You know what happened? My confession changed. Amen. My view of who I was changed. Amen. I'm now loved. I'm loved by the Father.
Amen.
I'm free. The chains have been broken because he who the Son sets free, is free indeed. I am a child of the Most High God. Amen. Loved.
Love me, babe. Are you loved?
Have peace because he gives me peace that's so unspeakable, that's so unknowable, that is so beyond what I could do. His peace is beyond my understanding. I have joy. Joy that flows from the throne room of heaven. Listen, what is your confession about what you are and who you are? Because before I was the broken girl. I was the one that was not wanted, not by my parents, but in other ways. I was the girl that had the abortion. I was the girl that broke just in half by just people's lies and who they were and the nastiness of this world. That's who I was. Do I want to keep a hold of that identity, or do I want to step into the identity that Christ freely gave me? Do I want to allow his blood to completely flow through this body and set me free? Or am I going to look at the king and say, your blood's not enough for me? I am free.
Amen.
Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Hey, now listen.
I am bold. I am bold for the Lord. I am bold. I will tell you what God wants me to tell you because he runs inside of me. He runs who I am. Why? Because he's my Father.
Amen. Amen. Hey, go ahead. Did you have something else?
I lost my dream partner.
Listen to this. I am not going to take up offering right now. You guys will have to wave the white flags at the end of the service and remind me, because right now, yes, but just in a second, we're going to take a few more seconds, because look at this beautiful couple right here. This is John and Laurie. And they're going to come back, especially in the next building, and they're going to do a session for me one day, probably on a Saturday, about couples and just some stuff in the future. And I'm just prophetically saying that because I haven't sat them down and told them that yet. But John, come up here for just a minute. How long have you been a part of Only Believe?
You want me to talk a little louder without a mic?
Amen. We have live streams, okay. So you got to use that. But how long have you been a part of Only Believe?
I myself been coming now almost 17 years.
And how long has she been?
She's almost 35.
Amen, amen. Now, I want you to look at this couple, and if you look at them, they have been Christians for a long time. And you might believe that they're second, third generation Christians. Easy, have it easy. But I'm telling you, when you realize that God can make you more than enough in a moment of time, mm-hmm. Remember, I told you that the devil told on himself when he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Because Paul was a murderer of Christians. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to have him go into great detail, but I just want him to give you just a couple minutes of how he came to Only Believe, where he was at when he heard about Only Believe, and then in the future he's going to come, and they're both going to share some details of their testimony that's going to make you say, wow. But this is a good-looking man, isn't it? You can see, amen. Larissa, amen. Thank you, Pastor. But he's a nice man. If you talked to him, he shook your hand, said hello, told you who he was. Very nice, peaceable man, right? Tell just a minute of your story.
Okay. The pastor was saying that I came out of doing a 12-year bit in the state pen. And when I was in there a couple years before I even got my parole, a friend of mine, I called him a friend because that's who I looked at him as, even though we were doing time together. He come and brought a magazine to me that Pastor Dosek was putting out at that time.
Amen.
And he says, I know you're from up around that area. He said, I thought maybe you would like to read it. So I read the magazine.
Amen.
And at the end of the magazine, the Lord spoke to my heart and says, now write Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote Pastor. Pastor wrote me back.
Wow.
He says, my schedule does not allow me to correspond with you, so I'm going to turn you over to Pastor Ed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So shortly after that, probably within 2 years, I was given a parole.
Come on, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. You understand that if he was in prison for more than a couple years and had a sentence of 10, 12 years, he, you know, wasn't like he just got probation. But even in the midst of that, God gave you grace, didn't he?
Amen.
And he paroled you, and then what?
Well, I was actually looking at life.
Yes, absolutely.
And life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But if I may say just this.
Yep, say what's in your heart, brother.
I go down to the church every morning to pray.
Amen.
And this past winter, the coldest, it was on a Wednesday morning, and it was the coldest day of the winter this past winter. And this is not just for me, but this is for all of us, especially for you.
Mm.
I stopped and I looked at the pulpit. And at that time, behind the pulpit was the cross.
Amen.
Like right here.
Amen. Come on.
And as I looked up the cross, the Lord said, John, I have loved you from the beginning, and I have loved you until the end.
Mm. Amen, brother. I have loved you from the beginning.
And I will love you.
And I will love you till the end. Listen, I need you to understand something. No matter what you've been through in life, no matter where you started, no matter if you were abused, no matter if you were motherless, fatherless, no matter if you were... there's a man from Uganda I know. He was thrown in the garbage to die 4 times. Mm-hmm. He pastors a church of 70,000 people today. And I want you to know something, that your past never identifies your future.
Amen.
You just got to be willing to let it go.
Amen. Amen.
You got to be willing to let it go. I believe John is going to do something so supernatural that he's going to be one of the first men I know with a felony record that gets authorization from the state to go right back into prison and preach the gospel.
Praise God. Amen. But you know, Pastor, this is one thing that God tells us. I have a plan for you even before the foundation of the earth.
Amen. Amen. So the very fact that God says before he put the earth together,
yes,
he had a plan for us.
Yes.
It let us know that no matter if we came through abuse, no matter if we made our own mistakes,
right,
no matter if we made our own bad decisions,
right,
God's hope was that eventually all we would do is call upon him.
Amen.
See, the Lord doesn't look at your past and say, oh, I can't wait to get you. He says, no, 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 I stand at the door and knock. If any man would just let me in, listen, it doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter about your decision yesterday. It don't matter about your decision 5 minutes before you walk through that door. What matters is right now, will you let the Lord that's knocking on your door come in and let you know that you're more than enough and that he loves you? And I'm telling you that we're going to make the commitment tonight that we're going to love ourselves so we can love everybody else.
Amen.
See, you've got to accept your God identity. You've got to accept the fact that God created you as a precious being. You got to accept the fact that the Lord would not settle so. He would not settle until you were born. And I tell you what, when God looks at the world today, when he looks at the needs of this world, I want you to understand that you are here in the year of 2019 and not in the year of 1800, not in the year of 1700, not in the year of AD and BC. No, no, no. You weren't born in those days because God knew the exact makeup of who you are. The look you got, the voice you got, who you are. If you would just let God come in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you would just let God maximize your potential, you're exactly the solution that God will be in unity with for your family, for your neighbors, for your community, for yourself, for the church, and for all those who cross your path. You are more than enough if you would just let the Christ in you
Amen.
The position of authority he's supposed to have. Amen?
He looks at the heart.
Absolutely.
Pureness of your heart is what Amen. He's looking at.
And that's all he needs. You know, the Bible says that I don't require anything of you except that you love me. Because based on his love for you and your love for him, you can overcome the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. You're going to come back, but I just wanted him to see a little glimpse. Who? Yep. Yeah. Who would have ever thought? Who talked to John before the service? Would anybody that talked to him ever thought that he'd tell you, I did a big stint in prison? You guys are still looking like you don't believe it. I didn't stage this night.
He's not the same.
Yeah, I didn't That's stage what? This night. I didn't know they were going to be here, but I knew what God told me. You're more than enough. And I'm telling you, if a man could change his identity, if this man can change his identity, and God would give him the heart of a woman who's been in church for 35 years, knowing his background, God sent him to only believe where you were and where you were looking for someone to bring into destiny. And this is the man God gave you, a man from prison, reformed. But I got to ask you a question, just one, and then you're going to come back. Are you ever disappointed?
No.
Has it been more than enough?
We met at a miracle service at Only Believe on New Year's Eve.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Usually I say the guys get Fred Flintstone eyes, but I got to tell you, both of you guys had Fred Flintstone eyes. Woo! I found destiny. Come on. If God can bring a man out of prison and say, I have had a daughter that's been in the faith 35 years, and I can't wait for you to get to her because you are never going to be who you used to be. You are going to be the man that I've made you to be. Woo! Woo! Listen, we're going to worship, but everybody in here, I just feel that if you're willing to come, I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to know that from this night forward, you are loved. You are his. You don't own your condemnation. And you don't own that path that the devil put you through. Even if you were making decisions, it was the enemy making you make bad decisions. And from this day forward, we're going to walk in the liberty of who God's made us. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray, and I'll be up here, and I'm sure Miss Regina might jump in from time to time, but I'm just going to lay my hands on you, and tonight you're going to leave here knowing that you're more than enough. Say, I am more than enough. I don't live this life on my own, but by Christ that's in me and who's made me a new creature, I'm not going to be known for my yesterday. I am going to be known for my faith. Woo! Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. This room, miracles happen. When
it. Get off of me. Honey, stay out of my business. It is so funny because this shirt, I thought it was from Hawaii or something like that. And her parents told me what it was. And then I was standing there, and even she's telling me what it is. See this shirt right here? It says, He is greater than I. And that's true except for this. Once we receive Him who's greater than I, He says that if Jesus was in His Father, and we're in Him, then we are definitely not greater than He, but we are greater than the world. We're greater than the devil, and we're greater than any challenge that will ever come against our life. Because Christ in you is not only the hope of glory, but He says that He will give you His strength. Amen. So when you walk in that shirt from now on, you say, He is greater than I, but me and Him are greater than any work of the devil, any work of this world, and any challenge that comes into my life in Jesus' name. Father, I declare, God, that she is more than enough, because yes, you are greater than we are, God. But we have received your inheritance because you don't limit your love on us. And God, we are supernatural. We are yours. And in Christ, we can overcome this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
glorified, glorified the name of all names. That nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise. To glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against.
Heavy.